It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is the Midday Show. You, Douglas, Joe, Gillia, we're live today. I'm at McGurk's Pub and Grill in Fort Washer. Come on out. Place is filling up here for lunch. And obviously, Phillies game tonight on all the TVs. Great food, great atmosphere. Join us at McGurk's in Fort Washington. And we'll get back to all your phone calls here on the Sixers, on Harden and Embiid. If you were Joel Embiid, would you want James Harden back? Our top 10 quarterback list, and of course the Phils. Is this real or just the opponents? We'll get back to all that. But right now, we got to go out to the guest line. Elliot Shore Parks joining us here. Of course, Elliot's calling brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how you doing?
Elliot.
What's going on? How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Elliot, what you got going on today? I heard a little birdie told me you got something going on today.
I mean, I always got something going on. I'm trying to be as busy and as popular as Hugh Douglas. So I got to always keep it moving.
That's not easy to do. Yeah, well, it depends on what we're talking about. All right, Elliot, let's get your take on this. I'm curious. I think I know what you're going to say. Elliot, if you were Joel Embiid, would you want Harden back?
Yeah, obviously. Why? What's a world where you wouldn't want one of the best players in the league, a top 20 player last year, a guy that helped you win MVP, won two games for you in the playoffs last year? What's the world where you don't want him back? I understand the salary cap ramifications, but that's not Joel Embiid's problem. You know, would I rather have Dame Lillard? Maybe, but that's not going to happen. So if you're Joel and you want to win next year, there is no question the best path for you to win is getting back your second-best player.
What we winning though, Elliot? I mean, did you watch Game 6 and 7 with James Harden out there?
Yeah, they lost, but they also won the third most games in the league last year. They've consistently gotten to the second round. So I understand that there is a world where you could build maybe a better roster if you could just pick and choose any player, but there is not really a realistic path to a better roster than you have with James Harden. So if Joel's argument is going to be, well, we didn't win game 7, so let him walk, you probably don't even get to game 7 of the second round next year if you don't have James Harden. So I understand the frustration, and I understand, you know, obviously the game was not pretty in game 7, but this can't be an emotional decision by Joel or the Sixers. The decision has to be what gives us the best chance to win, especially for Joel, who, let's be honest, his career probably doesn't have, you know, 5 more legit years just because of, you know, the body type and the position. So he needs to win right now. Whatever Harden's cap hit's going to be in 3 years, that is, Joel shouldn't think about that at all.
But, Elliot, to me, this just seems like a situation where, I mean, you make valid points in talking about getting back in the playoffs and everything, but we're beating our head up against the wall because it's going to be the same old thing. Either Joel Embiid's going to be hurt or James Harden's going to quit when we need him. So why run that back?
Because if they don't bring him back, they're not even going to be beating their head against the wall. They're going to be, you know, just getting demolished in the first round or something like that. So, again, the only way to get, you know, you were on Eagles team that a few years in a row lost the NFC Championship game, right? But you guys are still a great team, and you always had a chance to win. And you only got through when you added T.O., which helped. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you guys kept doing things a similar way because it was working. You just weren't winning at the final game.
But Elliot, to your point, it wasn't working. That's why when this is the way the story goes. I heard when Andy was in there talking about the last time when they lost to the Carolina Panthers, and he said, "Hey, we got the team to go with." They said, "BS, we're going out and getting a receiver," because that was the one piece that we were missing, and you got over the hump. Because we were doing the same thing over and over again.
It was Sixers-ish for a little bit.
The point I'm making is you guys added to the roster. You didn't remove from the roster. Taking James Harden off the roster is removing it. And, you know, I think there could have been a point. Let's be honest. In today's NFL, if a team lost three straight NFC championship games or AFC or whatever, there would be serious talk of should they fire the coach? Should they get rid of the quarterback? These guys will never win. But the Eagles didn't do that. And I know ultimately you didn't win the Super Bowl, but you got through and you won a lot of games in that process. So I understand the frustration of Joel and Harden, and they have not made it to the final, you know, four, and, you know, to kind of keep with the same sport analogy. But at the end of the day, they have been an extremely successful duo and have given the Sixers a chance to win a title. And that's what Joel should sign up for.
All right, let's get to the Chris Sims and the quarterback list and Jalen Hurts. Elliot, I'm curious, and we want to get your updated list because we just gave our top tens. But I'm curious, what did you make of where Sims had Hurts? Now, we played some of the audio yesterday. I actually thought some of it he was pretty complimentary of Jalen and the things he does well, the things he does great. But he did have him seven, and I just disagreed with having him below a couple guys. Like Lamar Jackson can't stay on the field, and Trevor Lawrence – I still think it's more like potential than he's actually been great in the NFL. He's been good, but not great yet. So I think he should be above those guys. First, what did you make of Sims putting Hurts seven?
So I would not have put Hurts seven. On my list, Hurts is higher. But I also think everybody needs to relax about Chris Sims. Chris Sims is not doing this as a personal shot at Jalen. Chris Sims is not putting him intentionally lower because he doesn't like Jalen. He was wrong about Jalen when he had him low on that list. Or outside the top 40 a few years ago. But guess what? A lot of people were wrong about Jalen. The Eagles were wrong about Jalen. So I think when Chris Sims puts him seventh, that's not where I'd put him. I would have him in my top three probably. But ultimately, Jalen, in my opinion, has not reached a level where we can get outraged if he's not in the top five or in the top three. He was amazing last year. He was elite, right? But ultimately, he has not done this year over year like some of the other quarterbacks have. I would have put him ahead of Lamar Jackson, and I would have put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. I think we're fooling ourselves if we think all 32 teams in the league would take Jalen over Trevor Lawrence or Lamar Jackson. Lamar probably more so. But I don't think the majority of the league would take Jalen over Trevor Lawrence. So I know Chris Sims' name gets everybody all worked up, but Jalen being seventh is not an insult to him, and you know, I don't think it's egregious.
So you know what struck me as I was making my list and kind of reacting to Chris Sims's? Elliot, it struck me like once you get past five or six, depending on if you still think Rodgers has a lot left or you think it's kind of the end now, but like around that area, it's a big drop-off. Like I was going through it, like trying to do a top 10, and I was like, between 7 and 15, you could just switch them out. There's not much difference. So the fact that the Eagles have one of these top six, like that's really the story here. Like whatever, yeah, I agree with you, Chris Sims, whatever, he's just making a list. But, like, the fact that the Eagles have one of these guys, they got to feel like they could put their head on the pillow easy at night because every other team besides those top five or six doesn't feel great.
And I agree with you 100%. I would take it a step further and go, other than Mahomes, you could really kind of rank those next five in a variation of different ways. I would probably put Joe Burrow, too. But there is definitely a world, in my opinion, where at the end of next year, we're saying Jalen is definitely number two. I think Josh Allen probably... You know, on a list made by, you know, everyone in the league, I would probably guess Josh Allen still finishes ahead of him. I think Jalen already has an argument to be ahead of him. So you're right that from 7 to 15, you could really swap any quarterback. And I think that speaks to, especially in the NFC, how much uncertainty there is. But even that group right after Mahomes, and I think that's what makes it exciting next year, is there is a real opportunity for any of those guys to make their, you know, a hard claim at number two or three or however you want to say it.
So we're ending OTAs coming up, you know, this week, and the Eagles will kind of, you know, go away and have their vacation until training camp. Elliot, from what you saw last week and just a little bit, give us the name of a player that just stood out to you, whether maybe they look like they're in better shape or you saw something on the field. I know it was just, you know, seven on sevens, but just someone that kind of caught your eye last week.
Well, for me, it's Nolan Smith, and I don't even think it's close. If you think about the draft process, a lot of the word about Nolan Smith was, very undersized for a defensive end. And that's probably why he did not go where he went, right? He ended up going all the way to 30. I think he has the skill to be a top 10 pick, but he fell because of his size. When you look at him on the field next to other players on the defensive line, next to, you know, some of the linebackers, he is not the same size as a linebacker. He is a legit edge rusher size. And I also think he has the perfect body type for today's edge rusher. He has, you know, long arms. He's super quick. We got to see he actually took part in some 7-on-7s, which is unique for an edge rusher. But watching him run after guys who are 15 yards down the field, watching the way he jumped at the snap, I really think physically, and which is kind of what you really get the most out of these OTAs, it was extremely surprising how not undersized he was, and that I think he has a chance to be a legit player for them right away.
Do you think the Phillies are working their way out of the slump?
So to me, the Phillies are what they are, which is a 500 team. I think they are a franchise that has consistently shown they're not run at an elite level, and I think that's really hard to overcome. You can spend a lot of money. You can go out, sign Trey Turner, and I know he's, you know, hit better the last few games, but it's hard when you're not running at an elite level like the Eagles are. It's hard to be a team that's going to win, you know, 60-70% of your games each season. So I think that they could be able – they could be at a start where they end the season maybe 5 games over or whatever. But, no, I don't think that they're all of a sudden going to compete for the division. I think that they just are what they are, which is one of the better teams in the NL, a team that has a good lineup, but they're not a team that's going to consistently win.
So you might be right, Elliot, but I just want to set you up to take some credit if this thing does turn around. So, we dove into the numbers here, and it seems like the Phillies are now undefeated, and it's not a one-game sample. It's 4-0 since you and Kyle Quinn did leading off on Saturday. Have you thought about that, or are you ready to take some credit, let's say, if they get to 5-0 here?
I mean, I know before me and Kyle did that, we said it's time for somebody on the radio to hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. So we sat there, and we did that for leading off. And I don't think it's a coincidence that since then they've played some of their best baseball of the season. So as much as I'd love to take all the credit, because it's certainly something I love to do, Kyle also a big part in that. So if they do have a parade, I'm not saying we should be on the first float, but at least one of the floats.
Yeah, well, I'll just put it this way. Right now, just based on the evidence, if this team has a parade, I think you and Kyle get on the float ahead of James and Jack. I just think that's fair.
Jack wrote them off last Friday. So I think at this point, Jack shouldn't even be allowed at the parade.
I agree. He can't root for them anymore. That's the way this works on WIP. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, and we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
Have a good one.
Elliot Shore Parks.